Almost 2 years into writing the book, I finally understand what this book was meant to be all along. Sahil Lavingia writes near the end of The Minimalist Entrepreneur. Sahil, thank you so much for coming on today. I'm curious, after you've launched the book, 2 years of writing it, and then you got it launched, does the book still feel the same to you after launching it? Or do you feel like you have a new perspective on it after getting it in people's hands?
Yeah, a little bit. There's a couple different there's probably three things that I would love to change about the book, though I don't want to change them now, but definitely can see the future and see where it needs to change to kind of stay relevant. One is at some point I'm going to sell the business that I run, or you know, in some capacity. And I don't really talk about exiting in the book because I haven't done that yet. So that's probably something I'd love to address at some point. Another one is crypto. Web3 doesn't really appear strongly in the book, but my guesses will become more and more important. And so maybe I will have to write either maybe a blog post edition or sort of, you know, in sort of 2022 or 2023, like how crypto kind of fits into this new world, just like the creator economy and no code kind of fit into the book itself and COVID and everything like that. And then the other thing that I've learned is that many people find the book valuable that I didn't really write it for. Like I wrote the book for people who don't have access to venture capital, who don't have access to San Francisco, who, you know, maybe, you know, just want to build a business without gatekeepers telling them that they can or cannot. But there's tons of people like, you know, who run big companies who are like, this is amazing. Like your chapter on marketing is super relevant, even for me. And so I think I could probably, I have to figure out like how to kind of convey the message that, you know, the book is not just for minimalism, you know, minimalist kind of folks who are bootstrapping or whatever, but actually there's kind of a pretty large, broad applicability to it, I think. So,
totally. Absolutely. I feel like there's both new entrepreneurs who, even if they could raise capital, perhaps don't want to. They want to go a bit more of, you know, let's try and build this first, get some traction and then see and try to avoid a bit of Silicon Valley's excesses. And then there's the other side of, say, companies who have already raised a lot, and yet they need to find a way to reduce their burn and perhaps be a bit more minimalist. And I could definitely see it applying in both respects.
Exactly. Exactly. But overall, feel pretty good about the book. We are going to release a V1.0.1 software patch to the book, hopefully in the coming couple weeks. Some small changes here and there.
Which is something you can totally do if, say, you were publishing on Gumroad as an ebook or something. But as a print book or something published through traditional media, will this be something you can do easily of being able to sort of push updates?
It's not as easy, but it's possible. Yeah. So even with Penguin Random House, like we will be issuing an update to the ebook, maybe the audiobook. And then when the book gets its second printing run, if it does, those changes will also be in that book as well.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, true, true. Like a new updated edition. So I'm curious, did you consider self-publishing? I know you sort of got the idea from the book after your editor at Penguin reached out. But had you ever considered writing a book and self-publishing directly on Gumroad, as so many people do?
Yeah, no, honestly. I would not have... You know, I've self-published all the time. I give away all my stuff for free. And so I would have written all this stuff, and I did really as parts of tweets and blog posts and things like that. The only way to get me to write a book would be someone who's done it before, giving me some money and telling me that I should and helping me.
Fascinating. What did you find the most helpful part of the process of having a editorial team at Penguin helping you push this book across the finish line?
Just the deadlines and the accountability. Having someone say, hey, you know, the book comes out October 26, 2021. That means the book has to be done by June. That means that, you know, copy it has to be done by April. That means that sort of the draft you're most happy with has to be done by February, which means like your first draft has to be submitted to us by December 31st. Which means that you have to start writing the book probably in January, because it's going to take a year longer than you think to write the first draft, which means you have to sign the proposal and get the sample chapter and everything nailed down by December of 2019. And to do that, you need an agent and just really just helping me think through like what actually is a book. What does a book mean? like, for example, recording the audiobook, like we had a director.
I
didn't know that audiobooks had directors. That was a job.
Yeah.
So just learning, you know, about the process of just all the things that you, you know, binding the book, the cover, the jacket, the end papers, there's like typesetting, you know, there's so many small things that add up to making a book, like it's just like a, it's a lot of work, honestly, like putting together a book is, yeah, was a probably, I would say I probably spent 400 to 500 hours, and my guess is that everybody else all in probably double that. So, you know, 1,000 hours at least went into this book.
That's incredible. It's a mini startup.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's the only thing that I've worked on for longer than a year besides Gumroad.
So in the book, you talked, one thing that stood out to me is about how much manual sales are the strong part of growth in the early days of just talking to people. And you, the quote is 99% of growth in early days is manual sales. And I've found this to a degree in working on new startups and stuff, is that so much of it is just talking to people and trying to get new users using it and such. I'm curious, what manual sales method did you try that was the worst that you were like, nope, this just isn't doing it?
Yeah. I mean, most of it doesn't work, to be honest, but I think the way you find out what works is by just trying a bunch of stuff and seeing. I would say, you know, one thing we spent a lot of time on that was, you know, probably wasted effort or you know, semi-wasted in hindsight is trying to convince like really big creators to use the platform. We felt like maybe this was kind of important in the early days of the creator economy. Like we felt like in music, we wanted Eminem and Taylor Swift, and film, we wanted Marvel and Disney, and, you know, like
really big.
In publishing, we wanted, you know, the Martian and just to show people like the future of publishing was, you know, self-publishing, and revenue should flow to the creator, not the publisher, which for a variety of reasons was like wrong. Actually, we were totally incorrect about how the creator economy was going to develop in that way. But we had this kind of top-down view of if we can convince like the top, then everyone else will follow. And we did actually convince the top. We ran experiments with Bon Jovi, Eminem, Andy Weir from The Martian, Neil Gaiman, Amanda Palmer, Sarah Bareilles, Imagine Dragons, like, you know, pretty large names in all of the verticals. But it turns out that was the wrong approach. Like we should have focused from the bottoms up, focusing on the people who we were really proud of using the platform, which were like just individuals that no one has ever heard of making, you know, $3,000-$4,000 a month selling eBooks or videos or courses or any of that kind of stuff.
Right. Another quote I really liked was, quote, "It's much easier to keep a customer than to find a new one. Never oversell, be honest, open, and always kind," which I think overselling, especially, that's something that flies in the face of a lot of startups generally. Curious, what tricks do you have in keeping customers from Gumroad?
Yeah, I think, you know, my secret is no secret, like just full transparency. Like I just give every creator access to the roadmap, access to what we're working on. I write a lot about how we work and why we work and what, you know, what decisions we're making and what went into them. And I think the way that you keep creators excited and about the future is you just give them a peek of the future. And if, you know, if they choose to stay with the platform, like all the cool stuff that they'll get airdropped for using, right. In terms of features and things. So that's my strategy and my answer.
Awesome. That's a